this real life?
Hey there, citizens of the world. Welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower the world to learn English the fun, natural, and real life way.
We believe that English should not be a dry and boring school subject, but an inspiring and enriching lifestyle that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want.
In this podcast, you will have lots of fun, learn plenty of new expressions, and drastically improve your listening comprehension.
We'll also teach you the secrets of native pronunciation, connected speech, and help you tune in your listening and speaking to the rhythm and flow of English.
So sit back, relax, and let's get on with the show. Oh yeah, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and
out of sight
way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're stuck in traffic,
eating an ice cream cone,
cruising down the Nile,
or walking your dog. I'm joined here today in the studio with the man, the legend, Mr. Vocabulary, Ethan.
Yeah, that's me.
What's up, Ethan?
What's going on?
I'm pretty good. How you going?
Pretty good.
And another very special guest, although he's not in the studio today, he's speaking to us from afar, Ollie Richards. How are you, mate?
Hey guys, good to see you. Yeah, I'm very well.
Yeah?
Good to see you.
So you're a special guest on our podcast today. Would you like to just quickly tell people where you are?
Well, right now I'm sitting in my flat in Cairo, which is obviously in Egypt. And yeah, I've been here for a few months.
Okay.
And yeah, just doing my thing.
Cool. And want to just tell us very quickly, just to start off the podcast, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your project, I Will Teach You a Language.
Yeah, so as you said, my name's Ollie and I'm from the UK. I run a website called iwillteachyoualanguage.com, and the aim of that website is basically to show people how to learn foreign languages quickly and effectively based on my own experience of learning 7 foreign languages myself.
Wow, that's amazing, 7 languages. What are those languages?
Well, I'll give you them in the order in which I learned them. So I started off by learning French, and that was when I was 19, I learned French. And then after that, I get a bit hazy sometimes, but it basically went French, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, Japanese, Cantonese, and Arabic.
Oh, damn. And
I think I might have missed one, but that's more or less it.
Okay, awesome. Which one do you think was the hardest language to learn?
Well, your first one is always hardest because you don't really know what you're doing, right? So you're kind of struggling with the process,
sure.
Struggling to know what to do. But I think in terms of, all of the Asian languages that I've learned, so Japanese, Cantonese, Arabic, they've all been pretty tough.
Okay.
In different ways, but yeah, very new languages for me, different problems, different things you have to get used to.
Sure, sure. It's incredible. Awesome, yeah. So it's a pleasure having you here today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to be here.
And we're going to get the show on the road and start off with today's shout outs. You know you make me wanna shout, kick
my heels up and down, throw my hands up and down. All right, so today's shout out goes out to a very special Fluency Circle member in Tokyo, Japan, Mika. I believe you just got off the phone with her.
Yeah, I just met her. I just spoke to her. Really cool person.
Yeah. So she's awesome English learner. She's using the power lessons to kind of move her fluency forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's speaking really well. She was a little bit, I think she's a little bit self-conscious of her English, but it's actually really good. She's doing a great job and seems like the power lessons are really helping her out with her pronunciation.
Yeah.
Ollie, you want to say hi to her in Japanese?
Sure. Mika-san, konnichiwa. Eigo ganbatte kudasai.
Wow, that was awesome. That was legit. Cool, yeah. So yeah, Mika, she is a member of the Fluency Circle. She's getting the power lessons every week that go along with this podcast. Thanks a lot for your support, and we look forward to connecting with you more in the future.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You reckon you could give us a oh yeah from Cairo?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Awesome. And if you guys want to find out more about how to become a member of the Fluency Circle, and if you wanted to also leave us a shout out either on iTunes or on Stitcher, Feel free to go to the show notes of this episode, which will be at www.reallifeglobal.com/meetOlly. That's M-E-E-T-O-L-L-Y. Yeah, that's it for today's shout out. So let's move on to today's kick-ass quote.
I'm kick-ass.
All right, Ollie, man, I believe you've prepared a kick-ass quote for our listeners today.
Yeah, this is a quote that I always keep coming back to whenever I'm talking about language learning. Now, I'm not sure exactly where it came from initially, but I remember hearing it from a great language blogger called Katsumoto, who writes about learning Japanese. And I don't know if he said this originally, but I certainly heard it. I think I heard it from him. And he said, "You don't learn a language, you get used to it."
Oh, nice. Okay.
So it's short and sweet, but I think it really epitomizes exactly what it means to learn a language. You know, the fact that it takes time, the fact that you have to let it slowly become part of your life. And that's certainly been my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you mean by epitomize?
Okay, so by epitomize, I mean to be it's a typical example of what happens when you learn a language.
Yeah, sure. And when you say like to get used to it, I know a lot of people, they're familiar with used to as in like, you know, I used to live in Australia. But what do you mean by get used to in this case, the expression to get used to something?
Yeah, so to get used to something is when something, it starts off being new and then gradually over time, it becomes something that you know and that you understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what happens when you learn a new language. At the beginning, it's you know, it's a very new thing. You don't understand how it works. You don't understand the grammar. You don't know the words. But then eventually over time, it starts to become natural and it starts to become part of your life and something you understand. So you get used to it over time.
Yeah. Do you think that has maybe some connection as well to like the culture that is kind of behind that language? Obviously you have to get used to how the language sounds, but also I think the maybe you have to kind of get used to the culture that speaks that language too.
I mean, you really can't separate language and culture. They are, when you start to use a language to actually speak with real people, you have to do so understanding the culture that they live in. So I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. What do you think, out of all the languages that you have learnt, which one do you think's culture was the most kind of foreign to you, the one you had to take more time to kind of get used to?
I'd say probably Arabic, because at the moment I live in Egypt and you know, I'm new to the Middle East. And you know, for anyone who's not from the region, when you come to live in the Middle East, there's a very, very unique individual culture here, and you have to get used to the religious side of life,
sure,
which is something that's very new for me. And so yeah, that's certainly taking time to understand the local religion, the local culture, and all of the things that involves.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Which one did you vibe the most with, which culture?
What do you mean to vibe the most with?
So like to vibe the most with, which one did you feel the closest to? Did you understand the best?
Yeah. Well, I think it's changed over time. I mean, Brazilian Portuguese for me was, for a long time, I really felt like I was at home because it's a very sort of warm language and the people are very warm and open. And so I always felt very at home speaking Portuguese, but also a lot of my best friends are from Spain as well. So, you know, for me, it has to do with the people. And most of my friends, when I started learning these languages, were from Brazil and from Spain. So, you know, those are the places that I felt the most connection with, that I vibed with the most.
Yeah, I think we can probably both vibe with you on those two points.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I lived in Brazil for a long time. Ethan lived in Spain for a long time.
Yeah.
So let's move on from today's kick-ass quote and get into today's conversation topic.
All right, so Ollie, like, I know you've been learning languages for a really long time. You've learned a lot of them. You're probably pretty well versed at this point in learning languages and different strategies and stuff. I guess the first foreign language you learned, was that kind of through formal education?
Well, I guess I should say that I did learn French and German when I was at school. Mm-hmm. But like everyone else, you know, I learned it by going to classes every week that I didn't really want to go to. And as soon as I left school, I stopped speaking those languages. So I don't, although, you know, that probably helped, I don't really count that as part of my language learning journey. So since I actually started learning languages independently by myself, which I started when I was about 19, I haven't had any formal education really in any of those languages.
Okay. Just to, I'm not sure if we've actually even mentioned this, but where are you from exactly? I know people have probably already realized you speak with a British accent.
That's right, yeah. So I grew up in Cambridge, which is in the UK, and it's about an hour north of London.
Sure, yeah. Just so you know, you're actually the first British English speaker on our podcast.
It's an honor, and I hope I won't be the last.
yeah, me too.
And I guess, so what happened to you when you were 19 that made you suddenly start learning languages by yourself?
Well, I actually was at university, and I was going out with a girl who I've been with her for 2 years, and she one day decided that she didn't want to be with me anymore. So she called it off. We broke up, and I was, you know, I wasn't in a very good way. I was feeling pretty bad. And so I decided to take some time away from university, and I felt like I had to kind of get away from everything, do something very different. So what I did was we have a special train that goes from the UK under the sea to all the way to Paris, which we call the Eurostar. And I actually went to Waterloo Station in London, and I bought a one-way ticket on the Eurostar, and I went to live in Paris with no French, no job, very little money, but just a big desire to go and make it work.
Pretty ballsy.
Wow. Yeah, that is ballsy. What does ballsy mean?
Ballsy, brave.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do that now, but, you know, I was 19, so...
Yeah, that's awesome. And how did that work out for you?
Well, what happened was I went there and I moved into a youth hostel. I lived in a youth hostel for a while. And then I became friends with the owner of the youth hostel. And one day he asked me, you know, I've got a friend who owns another youth hostel. Would you like to work there? And I said, well, sure, why not? I didn't have any money. But I said, you know, I don't really speak French. So, you know, do you think that would be okay? And he was like, yeah, no problem. So he took me to meet the owner of this other youth hostel. And he actually sat down and gave me this interview, kind of half in French, half in English. And I really didn't understand anything he was saying in French, but I just kind of kept nodding along and saying,
ah, oui, oui.
Oui, oui, je comprends, oui, pas de problème. And he, for some reason, he gave me the job. So I started working in this youth hostel in the north of Paris. And, you know, we get lots and lots of people coming in from all over the world. And so I met these people from Brazil, from Argentina, from Spain, from Japan, all these different places. And so I kind of started listening to lots of different languages, meeting people from all over the world. And obviously, a lot of the customers were French, so I had to speak in French. And eventually I started answering the phone in French, answering emails in French, and, you know, gradually learned on the job.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
That is really cool.
Yeah, and like, did you study French? You mentioned you learned on the job, but did you also have some kind of way of studying? Did you teach yourself? Did you have some kind of method of practicing besides just actually being immersed in the language?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I don't really remember very clearly everything I did, but what I do remember is I had no idea how to learn French.
Okay.
So I bought books, and I do remember buying a couple of grammar books and a couple of teach yourself books. So I would buy these books and work through them slowly. But I do remember that one day, and this is one of the most important things I did. One day there was a guy, a French guy, who was walking past the youth hostel, and he came in and he said to me, you know, are you English? And I said, yeah. And so he said to me, well, you know, I'm French and I want to learn English. Do you fancy helping me with my English and I'll help you with your French, like a language exchange? Yeah. And I had never heard of this before. I didn't know what this was, but I said, sure, that sounds like fun. And so we started to meet regularly, you know, two or three times a week. We'd go to a cafe and we would, you know, drink coffee, and then we'd spend an hour speaking in English, an hour speaking in French, and we would correct each other, tell each other what to say, help with pronunciation, all these things. Mm-hmm. And we did that for months and months.
Oh, wow.
And I remember really clearly that that really helped me start to speak and start to, you know, get me someone to ask questions to, you know, what does this mean? What does that mean? How do I say this?
Yeah.
And just help me really get comfortable using the language. And so what I learned from that was that language exchanges are one of the most powerful things you can do, because you're actually starting to speak with someone right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so it's a strategy that I use now in every single language that I learn, and always recommend to other people as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Here at Real Life, we kind of call this the survival phrases. You know, when you know how to at least say, oh, how do you say this? Or what does that mean? When you start to just ask more questions as opposed to saying, oh, I don't understand, and kind of like rejecting the conversation, you start to struggle and just survive in that conversation.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it starts off like that. You know, if you're just starting learning a new language, then, I mean, you can do language exchanges from the start, from day
yeah.
one. And in fact, that's what I do. It's what I'm doing now in Arabic. And really, the whole process is, it starts with saying, you know, how do you say good morning?
Mm-hmm.
How do you say goodbye? And you start with that, and you get it right. You learn how to pronounce it, and then gradually you just add one more phrase, and then another, and then another. And as long as you keep going and you don't stop, then sooner or later you're going to start speaking the language.
Yeah, you might say you start to get used to it.
you might say that, yeah. and you'd be right.
Cool, man. Awesome.
So I know, like, I follow your blog a bit and like your emails list and everything. So like something I've noticed, you work full time, I'm pretty sure. You're maintaining your blog and growing an audience. And like, I know I've noticed now you're even creating products for language learners. You could say you have a pretty busy schedule, I think. How do you hold yourself accountable to that, to learning, despite having such a busy schedule?
To learning languages, do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Because one of the biggest excuses we hear from, you know, when we were teaching English, and also just from people who follow us at Real Life English, is that they just don't feel like they have time to learn English.
You know, it's very easy to say that you have to make time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wake up half an hour earlier. I don't know, just go to bed later. Always study in your lunch hour. It's very easy to give that advice, but I think we all know that that's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
And so I never tell people that, because I know that I'm not like that myself. You know, I'm kind of, believe it or not, I'm kind of lazy. I do work hard at times, but I'm also quite lazy, and you know, I can quite easily sit back and spend a day watching House of Cards or something like that. For those of you who don't know House of Cards, it's a fantastic new American TV series that's just amazing with Kevin Spacey. So, you know, I do all that stuff as well. I can completely spend a day watching TV. I have one trick that works for me above all and keeps me accountable when I'm learning languages, which is this. Like I said earlier, I have language exchanges. I meet with people and I ask questions and practice my language. Now, here in Egypt, I have two or three people that I meet regularly. I also have a couple of online tutors. And what I do at the start of every week, I schedule in advance when I'm going to meet these people. So, for example, I say I'm going to meet Sara at Tuesday, 5 p.m. I'm going to have a lesson with Mona on Sunday at 6 o'clock. I'm going to meet Nada at Saturday at 4:30 after work. I schedule those times and I tell them, so it's a fixed appointment. And when I've got it fixed like that, when I've arranged to meet someone, I don't cancel, because I hate canceling things. I hate doing something that will put someone else out, that will be an inconvenience for someone else. So my main strategy is to always schedule these language exchanges in advance, and I try to schedule 3 or 4 per week. Every week I do 3 or 4, which is, you know, over 3 or 4 hours of studying every week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the foundation, and by doing that, I whatever else happens, even if I don't pick up any textbooks during the week, I'm doing at least 3 or 4 hours of studying. And
okay.
That over time, over 3, 4, 5, 6 months, is a lot. And so that's the way I do it.
Yeah, that's a great technique. I mean, even just like when you make a plan, you know, if you even just write something down in your schedule and like you actually make an actual commitment to yourself sometimes to do things, I think even that kind of makes you less lazy, I guess. But what you're doing is even more powerful because you're kind of letting down another person too.
If you were to not do it, to flake out.
Exactly, and this is a well-established psychological principle as well, which is known as pre-commitment. Mm-hmm. It's called so. It's one of the most effective ways to avoid being lazy, to avoid procrastination, is to pre-commit. So you decide in advance that you're going to do something, and you have someone else to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. It's really well known. Lots of people use it for different ways. This is my main strategy for actually studying, learning, and making progress.
Awesome, that's great. Awesome. Yeah, great advice.
Is there like a certain structure that you follow when you have an exchange?
Yeah, this changes a lot because it depends on what stage of the language you're at. So, for example, when I first start learning a new language, then most of the time in the language exchange is spent saying, you know, like I said earlier, how do you say this? How do you say good morning? How do you say hello? How do you say I would like? Asking maybe for lists of verbs, important verbs, like to eat, to have, to go, things like that. I'm literally just asking questions. Mm-hmm. And my approach is, okay, here I am in this situation, in this country, what do I need to say? Mm-hmm. What's the priority for me? So, for example, when I first moved to Egypt and I first learned Arabic, I was asking how to give directions to a taxi driver because that's something I had to do every day. Then the next thing I was asking was how to order a shisha in a cafe because that's something I like as well. So
shisha.
Then I was figuring out how to say the things that I needed to say. And then after that, something I often do is have to say specific words. So I'll say, for example, okay, there are 20 really important verbs that you use in almost every sentence, right? So how do you say these in Arabic? And then, right, I need to know 10 adjectives. How do I say these in Arabic? So kind of working through the real basic stuff in the language and asking how to say it. And I do all this in English. You know, tell me how to say this. Check my pronunciation. How do you say that? Mm-hmm. And then gradually, what happens is you start to be able to say things in the language. And then at that point, what I do is I try to actually start speaking only in the language. And it's very slow and it's painful and it's really difficult. But slowly, you can start to do it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I feel like I can start to express myself and say certain things in the language, I'll start to try and speak 100% in the language, and mm-hmm. I'll tell the other person, you know, I'll say to them, look, today I want to speak only in Arabic, you know, only one word in English here or there, but 99% Arabic, and I'll tell the other person that, so then they can work with me and help me to just spend that hour speaking as much Arabic as possible.
Awesome, man.
All right, so we've been talking a lot about teaching yourself a language. You're trying a lot to help other people learn a language. So do you think that it is actually possible to teach someone a language, or is it always better just to be teaching yourself?
I think you got to separate two different things here. Mm-hmm. Most times that you want to learn a language, what you do is you go and you buy a book or you buy a course for that specific language. So let's say you want to learn Spanish. Well, what you're probably going to do is you're going to go to the bookshop and you're going to buy a book on learning Spanish. And in that book, you're going to learn lots of words, lots of phrases, some Spanish grammar. All of this is the content of the language, and it's what is the language. Now, that's what everybody does. And yet, most people don't have much success actually learning to speak a language. And the reason is that just by learning lots of verbs and lots of words, that's not enough to actually learn a language. To learn a language well, you've got to cope with lots of other things. You've got to find the time to study. You've got to spend time speaking with native speakers. You've got to find ways to remember vocabulary. And language courses, language books don't help you do this. They tell you all the information, but they don't tell you how to use that information. And people that have learned lots of languages, what they are good at, you know, their talent, their speciality, is knowing how to actually go about learning to speak the language. And so what I try to do when I'm writing articles for my blog, what I try to do is to talk about those things that you have to do to actually learn to speak a language properly. And you know, not many people do this, and I think it's because it's very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's my focus, and my main aim is to show people what they can be doing, how to organize their time, how to study, how to go about learning vocabulary, do all of these things that are actually going to help them use and speak the language that they're learning.
Mm. All right. And so how are you doing this now, besides just through your articles?
Okay, so I have, like you mentioned, I've got lots of articles on my blog that talk about different topics. I've also written a couple of books, and recently I released a video course. It's an online video mm-hmm. course, which shows people step by step my own process for learning languages.
Do you want to just like explain a little bit more about how that works?
Yeah, so it's a video course, which means I've made 10 different modules. Okay, the course is broken down into 10 modules, and it covers different elements of language learning. So, for example, there is a module on how to find the best resources, the best books and courses. There's another module on how to plan your week, and how to plan your day, how to break down your day into different parts, and how to study in those times. There is a module on how to find native speakers to speak to, how to learn vocabulary. So there's all these different things, and there's 10 parts to the course, and then each one has a video that I've recorded that shows you exactly how to do those. There's also things like expert interviews, where I interview other very successful language learners. There's one guy I interview in the course who speaks over 40 languages, which is pretty incredible.
Did you say 40 or 14?
Yeah. No, I said 40. Four,
oh,
zero.
My God.
The guy, yeah. And so what I've done is I found these people. They're friends of mine, polyglots who speak lots of languages, and I actually go out and I interview them about exactly how they do it. So it really is a kind of a complete course that shows you all the different techniques and ways that you can actually study effectively.
Awesome. And so just want to let our viewers know, how can they see your blog? What is your website, and how can they find out more about this?
Yeah, so my blog itself is called I Will Teach You a Language. So you can go to iwillteachyoualanguage.com. And the course that I was just speaking about is called Language Learning Foundations. And if you're interested in that, you can just go to languagelearningfoundations.com, and that will take you straight there.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm going to have to wrap up this conversation topic just because we're kind of running out of time here on today's podcast. But let's just quickly finish this off and move on to today's. We're going to have a little special segment just because Ollie's with us. It's going to be called Pronunciation Tip. Help, I need somebody. Everybody knows, it seems like every time I've been teaching people English, they always separate it into British or American English, even though, I don't know, there's many different ways to speak English, right?
Sure.
But I thought I'll just do a little game with you two guys here. You know, have Ethan, Mr. Vocabulary, the American, Ollie. I'm just going to say a word with my neutralized Australian accent. And just get both.
And then I'm going to show you the right way to pronounce
okay.
it.
Okay. Oh, here we go. A little bit of a competition. Yeah. So we have British English versus American English. I'm just going to get you guys just to repeat this word after me, okay? So the first word is vitamin.
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 Oh, vitamin, vitamin.
So would you say, how would you say in British English, vitamin water?
Vitamin water.
Okay. Way different.
That's that T sound, vit and the I, right? Vitamin, yeah. Vitamin, okay.
And the different with the D, the T and the R in water.
In water, sure. Next word is, what's the name of that metal that's often used to make like a can of Coca-Cola?
Aluminum.
Yeah, I think you'll find it's aluminium.
Okay. Aluminum versus aluminium. All right. If you're a little bit worried about somebody face stalking you, you might want to change your what setting on Facebook.
Privacy setting?
Yeah.
Well, I would change my privacy setting.
Really? Is it privacy?
Yeah.
Never knew that.
So that's privacy versus privacy. So, Ollie, you're talking about rearranging appointments with people to have a language exchange. So you'd have to write them into your...
I'd have to write them into my schedule.
Also say schedule.
Are you both say schedule?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I kind of switch between schedule and schedule.
Okay. Yeah.
That's flexible.
How would you say it in Australia?
I would say schedule, but I think maybe some people in the UK might say
schedule.
Yeah,
people do say schedule. Yeah, I think they do. I've lived abroad for too long. I get confused.
Okay, yeah, me too. I have no idea how Australians speak anymore. If you want to park your car at your house, you want to park it in the?
Oh, that's one I know. Garage.
Garage.
Okay. And just one more, just to finish off. Parsley is a type of?
Herb.
I just thought, as soon as you said parsley, I thought of oregano. Which is obviously something that Ethan's going to say differently. But yeah, parsley is a type of herb.
A herb. How do you say it again, Ethan?
Herb.
Herb. So you guys...
Like just... oregano.
Yeah, how do you say it?
That's really
oregano.
Weird,
and how do you say oregano?
Oregano.
Oregano is also a type of herb or herb here in the United States.
Yeah.
Cool, that was awesome. Yeah, so that's just some big differences. These are very common words that are pronounced differently between British and American English. Oh yeah. Awesome, so that actually brings us to the end of today's podcast. Ollie, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy language learning schedule, or sort of, should I say schedule.
You're welcome, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
And at the end of every podcast, we always play our listeners out with a song. I'm not sure if you wanted to maybe suggest a song for today's episode.
Yeah, well, my background is with jazz, and I used to play jazz actually when I was younger, and so I thought I'd tell you about this song called "When in Rome," and I don't know who wrote it originally, but it's a great song with great lyrics, and the title "When in Rome" refers to this English expression, which is "When in Rome, do as the Romans do." So the Romans obviously from Rome, and so the idea is that when you go to Rome, you have to behave in the same way as the Italians who live there. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that's a great song to finish
awesome.
Up with.
Awesome, that is great. So yeah, thanks again, and if you guys want to learn more about Ollie and his project, check him out at iwillteachyoualanguage.com.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Thanks a lot for joining us today, guys. And we'll see you, like always, next week on Real Life Radio.
Sir Amour, I beg of you, please endure my taking a brief detour with somebody new. It's just that when in Rome, I do as the Romans do. And though from Italy I lie to you prettily, why think of me bitterly? You know that I'm through. Except now and then in Rome, I get that old yen in Rome. And naturally when in Rome, I do as the Romans do. I write happily, best wishes from Napoli. Don't cable me snappily to tell me we're through. 'cause once again in Rome, in somebody's den in Rome, well, pussycat den in Rome, I do as the Romans, disregard the signs and the omens. When in Rome, I do as the Romans do.